Welcome to the Dürr conference call. Ralf Dieter, CEO, and Ralf Heuwing, CFO of Dürr AG, will present the Dürr Group's figures for Q3 2016, followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over to Mr. Dieter, CEO of Dürr AG.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome everybody. It is our pleasure to present to you Dürr's figures for the first 9 months of 2016. As always, I'm joined by my colleague, Ralf Heuwing. I will start by summarizing the key highlights. First, incoming orders rose by 9% and adjusted for FX by 11% and reached 2.9 billion euros in the first three quarters 2016. We were able to gain market share across all activities in a tough market environment. Second, as expected, sales declined by 6% and adjusted for FX by only 3%. As always, we expect a good sales realization in the last quarter of the year. Operating EBIT reached 197 million euros and the operating EBIT margin reached 7.5%, which is the upper end of our guided range for 2016. Reported EBIT was impacted negatively by several one-offs, which we will explain later. Thanks to lower interest and tax, net profit showed a nice increase to 121 million euros. And cash flow was very strong in Q3 at 139 million euros. Let's turn to page 4. The book-to-bill ratio came to 1.1 in the first 9 months, and order backlog was up by 257 million euros to 2.7 billion euros. As expected, we should reach a new record in order income in 2016. Going to page 5. Incoming orders in America rose sharply due to several large orders placed in North America. In Q3, we received orders from Daimler and Ford, for example. Orders in Europe, especially in Eastern Europe, rose mainly due to a large greenfield order for a paint shop for Jaguar Land Rover. And as expected, incoming orders in China were visibly below the previous year's figures. However, we could increase incoming orders in our machinery activities, measuring and process systems, and woodworking machinery systems in China strongly. And we expect a pickup in demand during 2017 in the group, which is a slight shift in the time schedule. I was twice in China in the last 4 weeks talking to our customers there. And the OEM sentiment is upbeat. Automotive demand has been stronger than expected in 2016. Some OEMs are operating at high capacity level and will need to decide in 2017 for additional capacity investments. And by the way, we have received in October an order from a new Chinese electric vehicle player. Ralf Heuwing will now take you through our financials.
Yeah, thank you, Ralf. Let's turn to page 6. In the first 9 months, we achieved a reported EBIT margin of 7% compared to 6.9% last year, despite the sales decline. Several extraordinary costs, totally an amount of 16 million euros, arose in Q3. Like-for-like operating EBIT, adjusted for those extraordinary effects, came to 197 million euros in the first three quarters, compared to 210 million euros in the previous year. This resulted in an operating EBIT margin of 7.5% versus 7.6% in the previous year. Operating Q3 margin came in at 8.7% compared to 8.5% in the same period the previous year. Our gross profit, that is revenues minus cost of goods sold, increased by 4% to 616 million euros. The gross margin reached a new record level of nearly 24% thanks to a good service business. As anticipated, there was a sharp improvement in financial result, while tax expense returned to normal level after the extraordinary effects of the HOMAG acquisition, which meant that net profit went up by 9% in the first 9 months. On page 7, we provide a detailed overview of the extraordinary effects in 2016. They include two smaller plant closures in Germany and Austria, costs for the sale of EcoClean, a final expense for the termination of the HOMAG capital participation program, PPA costs, as well as the book gain from the sale of a U.S. real estate asset. We expect the EcoClean deal to close before the end of 2016, although there are still some regulatory steps to conclude. Including these book gains from the transaction, we expect all in all a positive extraordinary effect of more than plus 10 million euros at the EBIT level. Ladies and gentlemen, let me continue on page 8. As expected, operating cash flow improved sharply in Q3. Net working capital declined by 39 million euros in the third quarter after an increase of 115 million euros one year earlier. Free cash flow came in at 121 million euros in Q3, while net financial status improved from -90 million euros at the end of Q2 to a positive 21 million euros at the end of Q3  2016. Adjusted for these volatile net working capital changes, we would have generated a free cash flow of more than 80 million euros in Q3 alone, which demonstrates our cash generation potential. Looking ahead over the next few quarters, we expect net working capital to be a bit less volatile and the free cash flow to remain stable at a high level. The overview of our work in process and progress billings on page 9 shows that the payment balance with our customers has completely normalized again and stands at -134 million euros. We consider, as you will remember, a configure of around -100 million euros to constitute a normal level, so we expect no further cash outflow for project execution. Moving on to page 10. Equity climbed by 16% over September 30th, 2015, to 750 million euros. The equity ratio thus reached 23% and should surpass the 25% level at year-end. Our total cash, including other financial assets, currently stands at 676 million euros after 377 million euros a year earlier. I will now hand back to Ralf Dieter, who will summarize the performance of the divisions and present our outlook.
Thank you, Ralf. Let's move on to page 11. Order intake at Paint and Final Assembly Systems grew by 4% in the first three quarters, 2016. Our project pipeline remains on a fair level, also because a number of e-mobility projects are being planned both in China and in North America. While this is a positive driver, these projects are more difficult to predict in terms of timing of the decision. In China, we anticipate a stronger order intake in 2017 after the digestion period we have seen in 2016. Going forward, Paint and Final Assembly Systems expects a generally stable demand. And the decrease in earnings was due not only to lower sales and the cost of the plant closure, but also because the margins are returning to a more normal level. At 6.8% after 9 months, the operating EBIT margin was on par with Q4 of last year. And for 2017, we do not expect an easier competitive environment here. Page 12 shows that Application Technologies order intake increased considerably, mainly due to several large greenfield projects, while the modernization business was steady. With sales declining by 8%, the book-to-bill ratio climbed to 1.1. EBIT increased by 1% to 46 million euros, of which 5 million euros came from the sale of real estate in the first quarter. The operating EBIT margin came to 10%, marking only a slight decline compared to last year. At our customer fair open house a couple of weeks ago, we showed our customers several digital innovations and we also introduced our latest paint robot innovation. While conventional painting robots work with 6 motion axes, the new model has a 7th axis. This makes the Dürr robot an unrivaled smart mover and opens up new options and cost-cutting potential. The new smart controller of the robot incorporates a large number of sensors and actuators, communicates with higher-level maintenance and control systems, and is cloud-enabled. In summary, our new paint robot generation is fully enabled for Industry 4.0. And by the way, the feedback of our customers during the open house is that they see us as a leading Industry 4.0 provider in our field. Ladies and gentlemen, on page 13 now, we want to show you a short movie featuring our new paint robot. Please click the button here on this chart and enjoy the movie. So, I hope you enjoyed the movie, and now we move on to page 14. We can see that the order intake at Measuring and Process Systems rose substantially in the first 9 months, and in Q3 as well. Order intake was strong across all activities and regions, including China. Sales were slightly down, and the EBIT margin stable at nearly 11%. The book-to-bill ratio increased to 1.25. We expect a strong Q4, so our EBIT margin guidance of 10 to 11% looks conservative for the full year. Page 15 shows the results for Cleaning Technology Systems. Order intake and sales rose solidly in the first 9 months. driven by sound demand for our exhaust air purification solutions. Order intake exceeded sales by 13%. We received several orders from China, Southeast Asia, and North America. Also, Europe picked up during the year. And EBIT improved strongly in Q2 and Q3 due to higher volumes and growing service business. Energy efficiency technology remains the weak spot. Ladies and gentlemen, let me continue on page 16 with an overview of the HOMAG Group, which is our woodworking machinery and systems division. The HOMAG Group reached a record order intake of €858 million despite negative currency effects. Demand in North America and China was strong. On top of this, we have been more selective in taking in orders in the system project business. EBIT rose by 73% to €43 million on a 5% increase in sales revenues. In Q3, we booked some streamlining costs, as already mentioned. The operating EBIT in Q3 reached an impressive 8.4% margin compared to 6.9% 1 year ago. As you can see from these figures, we are making good progress in our focus program and are fully on track towards achieving our goals for 2016. Nevertheless, I should point out that there is still a way to go to bring HOMAG into the target margin range of 8 to 10%. Let's move to page 17. As in previous years, the service business continues to grow steadily. Our service business is a key driver for both customer satisfaction and value creation. Service sales grew by a strong 10% during the first 9 months, coming to €707 million and accounting for 27.5% of consolidated sales, moving closer to our midterm target of 30% of total sales. The service margin remained at a high level. Let's turn to the market environment. PwC's market experts published their latest forecast for light vehicle production in October 2016, shown on page 18. Despite global political and economic uncertainties, PwC continues to expect global automotive production growth of 4% in 2016 and beyond. Whereas North America appears to have peaked for now, other countries such as Brazil, Russia, and Iran should slowly improve. India has been on an upward trend for the past 2 years. However, China remains to be the most important growth driver. PwC and others remain upbeat about the long-term potential in China, have therefore increased their 2020 forecast slightly to 32 million units there. This sentiment is consistent with our own impressions from conversations with OEMs in China. They continue to see significant potential in the long term, and in addition, we also see growth in modernization business. Let's turn to page 19. Based on the good 9 month figures, we reaffirm our outlook for incoming orders, sales, and operating earnings. We are confident of achieving the upper end of the targeted ranges in 2016. Assuming that the EcoClean transaction is completed this year, we are looking for a reported EBIT margin between 7.5% and 8%. Ladies and gentlemen, before inviting you to ask questions, I would like to provide a brief summary. Dürr showed solid performance in the first three quarters of 2016 with a good order intake momentum and earnings in line with expectations. Net earnings grew by 9% despite the decline in sales. The gross margin reached a new record level. Our cash flow improved sharply in Q3 as expected. And the exit from our cleaning business is progressing well. We hope to announce the closing at year end. And finally, we are targeting the upper end of guidance ranges for incoming orders, sales, and earnings. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention so far. We are now happy to answer your questions, and I hand over to Mrs. Ballnard again.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Mr. Jack O'Brien, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. I've got a couple. The first is on your service growth, impressive service growth. Could you provide us with the regional breakdown of that? So was it largely sort of US driven? And also what was the dynamic in China there? And secondly, I'd just like to understand a little bit about the margin pressure you saw in paint shop and final assembly systems. Perhaps if you could give some color on perhaps the competitive environment and pricing, that would be really helpful.
Okay, so Brian, service growth, we don't make a regional breakdown, but to answer it more, let's say a little bit more for you that we have basically quite similar service portions compared to the new business in Europe and North America. In Asia, it's traditionally a little bit less, but it's since in Asia now also the plants are aging, we see that also coming to a level. So there's not much a big difference now anymore in the world. So you can basically take the revenue as a breakdown, and then you have also more or less a service breakdown. For the margin pressure, as I said before, the environment is more competitive due to a lower volume of projects than maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago, which was, by the way, very unusual. That's why we also had in the PFS, or the paint and final assembly, margins of 8%, which we always said they are temporarily high. We are now coming back to the normal, let's call it, competitive environment. Therefore, also the margin development on this 6.5 level. So that's what we see, and that's also continuing. So that's, let's say, no special thing. But we would not like to comment now on our competitors.
Okay, no, of course. But I suppose, so you're not seeing sort of pricing pressure exacerbating? The auto OEMs aren't sort of squeezing you more, if you will?
Look, I do this business now since 14 years, 15 years, and I think it was always pressure, and the purchasing guys always try to get the best out of it. I don't see much a big difference. But also our market shares are quite high, so let's say that their pressure potential is also to some extent limited. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Just one final question on your China guidance. You've talked about confidence in an order pickup from sort of mid-2017. Interested to understand your sort of visibility there, given that perhaps you expected it may happen slightly before.
As I said, our machinery business, also our measuring process systems and our HOMA group, they had a very, very strong order intake in China above last year, so that was good. So what the slowdown comes from is a pure paint shop business. And because of the OEMs in the last years have really built a lot of new paint shops, the question was when are they going to be again utilized. And since the sales of cars in China is better than everybody expected some months, or let's say 6-9 months ago, the capacity is filling up again. And the discussions we had was that the customers are now looking at the sales figures and the product portfolio, shifting things. There's a lot of activities in planning at the moment, when to do what. And so by all the discussions we have, and we know the utilization of these plants quite well, I see now that we will have discussions next year more than this year about extensions or additional plants, also fueled by the new players from the electrical vehicle side. Yeah, so that's why we are optimistic.
Okay, thanks so much. Cheers.
Pleasure. Cheers.
The next question comes from Mr. Ingo Sache, Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have two questions regarding HOMAG and one regarding measuring and process systems. On HOMAG, I think after Q2, we had spoken a lot about your efforts to phase out the low margin or to reduce the low margin project business. And I think it was a bit surprising that you printed a very strong order intake growth rate for HOMAG in this quarter. Could you just explain how you see that also in context of the weak Q2, whether it was more orders shifted from Q2 to Q3 or whether you had strong market share gains in the third quarter? And if possible, could you also maybe give us a hint, let's say, how strongly you have decreased the systems business and how strong, let's say, the low to medium-sized orders were during the quarter. On profitability of HOMAG, you have already said, I think, in the opening remarks that it's still a long way to go to get to the 8-10% margin target, but in the third quarter you were obviously already in that range. Just wondering what you see for next year here. Of course, some of the restructuring measures, especially plant closures, should be effective now. So why should we already assume that you are in the 8-10% range next year? And if not, why not? And the question on measuring process system, so it would simply be on the, I mean, you mentioned it was all business areas, but if you could point maybe to a specific business unit that was particularly strong order intake-wise during the quarter and confirm that there were no, let's say, positive effects in EBIT resulting from the EcoClean investment, such as phase-out of depreciation or something like that.
Yeah, Mr. Schachel, Ralf Heuwing speaking. Let me just comment on your questions regarding HOMAG. First of all, on order intake, we were more selective in the first and second quarter, that is correct. But it also basically meant that we turned down a couple of projects also to signal both to our own organization but also to the market that we don't take projects at any price. And that was an important message for both constituents. And that message, I think, has been heard. And, you know, of course, as in other businesses, the more chunky systems business in HOMAG also doesn't come equal in every single quarter. And we've had strong momentum without compromising our profitability target. Regarding the margin improvements over time, it is a long way to go just because our focus program still has a lot of points on the agenda. And these are the more challenging points with respect to modularizing our product, rolling out our IT systems everywhere in the world, and streamlining our processes. These are no small tasks, and that's why we're saying still a lot has to be done in order to sustainably reach that margin range. And you know us, we wouldn't be surprised with 8% only. When we say 8 to 10%, we actually mean 10%, to be clear. So a lot still is ahead of us, and we want to pull through without, you know, calling we're done too early. I think that answers the HOMAG question.
Now it's Ralf Dieter speaking, Mr. Schachel. The order intake and MPS, you wanted to break down the business units. You know we don't do this, but I give you anyway a little bit an answer that... particular, the end-of-line testing business, the filling business, and also the balancing business was very strong. In particular, filling and end-of-line in China was very strong because all the Chinese OEMs who have built a lot of capacity because of their success are counting on our technology to have perfect quality for their cars. So that's where the driver came mainly from. And the second question regarding EcoClean, you were talking too fast. Sorry, I didn't get it.
Oh, yeah, no, the question was just whether in the EBIT, whether there was any, let's say, positive effect from the EcoClean divestment, such that you don't recognize certain costs or depreciation anymore as a function of the divestment, or is the EBIT or the adjusted EBIT number that you've presented really a clean figure where we have to deduct the normal earnings contribution from EcoClean if we want to come to a view what the underlying excluding EcoClean earnings are.
We have in the third quarter we only have booked the transaction costs and no other effects, and that will then finalize when we have closed the transaction with a positive effect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Alexander Hauenstein, DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I have two questions, please. First of all, with regard to the new paint robot generation, could you provide us with an idea here, some indication, or maybe even a hard number here, what you intend to see here on the volume side, and also give us potentially a margin indication where things are heading to, and also related to that, potentially a kind of a timetable or at least an idea when we should see this in the margins. The second question with regard to orders into 2017, I understand you're getting better and better visibility here. My question would be, when you look at the delta on a divisional basis, 2017 versus 16, where do you expect the highest and where the lowest delta coming from, and maybe why? And I mean, ideally, I would look for an indication for all the divisions, but I think that's maybe a bit too early, so I would be happy to get at least the best change and the worst change. Thank you.
Mr. Hauenstein, thank you. So your last questions, it would be the first time in the last 10 years that at this time of the year I would give an outlook for next year. I only indicate that we see that because of the drop of China this year, this will recover next year. But more information we will not have at the moment. We will have this then with the first, with our preliminary results. As usual, we give some first indication for 2017, and that will be on the 20th, 3rd of February. I hope you can wait for so long. Sorry. For the new robot, also here, I mean, at the moment we have per year more than 1,000 paint robots we are producing, and this new robot for sure will not have full numbers next year because we still have a robot generation where customers are asking for, because it's an extra one. The new one will move into this portfolio. It will not add on, it will just replace the actual generation over time. The margins, we don't disclose on that, but I think what you are asking for is whether the application technology business therefore will have a higher margin. I think that you should not expect. We try to strive for that, but it's not the main reason. This robot has for the customer cost advantages, which gives us a competitive advantage to increase our market share, which are already very high in this business.
Okay, that was clear. Thank you. Looking forward for the statements for 2017 then.
Thank you. Sorry.
Cheers.
Nice try. It's okay.
The next question comes from Mr. Michael Schran, HSBC. Please go ahead.
Mr. Schramm?
Oh, sorry, didn't recognize my name. By the way, it's just a pity to hear that this new robot does not mean margin improvement for you, so you obviously cannot keep some of the efficiency gains you have here in your own pocket. Obviously, this reflects really the...
No. That's the wrong impression. But I don't disclose now that we have margin improvements and we have to sell this to our customers, which also hear this message.
Okay. Let me take this as a positive sign here.
This line here.
My interest would be orders you mentioned for China in discussion, also coming here, especially from manufacturers of electric cars. Are these of the same quality than, let's say, the traditional car makers, or is there a difference here with this new customers that you have to make some to give some advantage to get into this market with this new customers first? I'm not say discounting, but at least giving a certain incentive here to establish this relationship with the customer. Could you elaborate a bit on this? And second question, just on this EcoClean, could we get an indication on the cash inflow from this divestment approximately, or is this not yet available, this figure? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Schramm, when I understood your question right, I think you were asking whether we, you know, for this local OEM in China to get there, whether we have to, let's say, make special concessions in terms of price or so. We are working with these companies already since many years, but in the, just recently their level of investment has increased because they are, let's say, they have learned now to build also good cars, and their demand for quality is the same like the joint venture OEM. So that's why they are also asking for our equipment. And that does not need us to have a special price discount to get into that. It's normal business like with any other OEM developed over the last years. And the cash in from
The proceeds from the EcoClean divestment should amount to roughly 100 million euros, representing 85% of the equity. We hope to conclude the deal by end of this year. There's a slight chance that maybe some of the transaction might slip into the first quarter, but we're still positive.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
There are currently no further questions. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01. We do have some further questions. Would you like to take them?
Oh, yeah, sure. No problem.
The next question comes from Mr. Harald Remet, LBBW. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Some questions from my side. First of all, you mentioned a large final assembly project in North America. I thought you have refrained from this kind of business, so should we expect nevertheless a reasonable margin in this project? And could you give us an idea of the size of the project? Is the first one. The second one, should we expect any additional cleanup costs in Q4, as we saw in Q3, closures of plants or anything else? Or from HOMAG's side. And finally, a question regarding just another topic. We can watch the HOMAG share price one record high after the other. Are there any special reasons behind these share price increase at HOMAG we should know?
Mr. Remet, the last question I can't answer you. Maybe somebody wants to buy or is buying, but Ralf Heuwing maybe knows better.
I would offer a reasonable interpretation. The zero interest rate regime makes the Hallmark bond, which it is, more attractive. And that's why people even invest at this level, because they have a dual-rated Hallmark bond, which gives them a reasonable deal. I think that's the only reason that I can see. And regarding the cleanup costs, of course, we are reviewing further options, but nothing is defined at this moment.
And they will not be essential, but something else.
Yeah.
Okay, first question, Mr. Remet, we are not out of the final assembly business, because that's why this division is still called paint and final assembly. But you're right, some years ago we said we want to be more selective, and that we are. But it's still a business in per year between 200 and 300 million in total worldwide. And this order in America is a special one due to the fact that it's a turnkey order, which is in this assembly business not anymore the usual practice of doing business from our customers. And the margin is okay, and the size that you get an idea is about 100 million plus. We are still defining the scope. So it's quite an extraordinary one, but a very interesting one. And we will disclose later, not today, but when we have the agreement with the customer who it is. But I think we talked about it so much that it's not too difficult to... And you know there's one customer who's announcing a production next year of a new car, and maybe that helps. So.
Okay. So, but you have there is no risk behind this project with any new technologies or anything new where there is some risk inside of the order. So we should not expect any things we saw some years before.
I mean, this we have left a long time that we tell you that we have to lower our EBIT because we have big risk. We have always risk in this business because the business is risky, but I think we can manage it now. And also this order, even there's always some new developments, we can control this. So don't worry about that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Stefan Augustin, ODDO. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Just one question. We were lately able to see that the owner of BS is asking bankers for a quotation. What would be your ideas on that, or what is your view of a process like this?
I think, Mr. Augustin, we are here in the Dürr conference call and not in the BS conference call, so we won't comment any competitors' moves.
If it would be for sale to you, would you look into it?
We always look at opportunities.
But you also have to consider the market shares, what we have in Hallmark, and which we also increased this year. So I think this is also not easy from that point of view.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Bernd Chanel, Bankhaus Lanke. Please go ahead.
Hello, Bernd Chanel. Can you give us some more details on the Chinese EV order you booked in October? How large is the order? What technology does the order include? Is it paint technology and final assembly technology? And maybe what capacity will the factory or the paint shop have? Thank you.
First of all, Mr. Chanel, we don't disclose all the details. Also in particular, with the customers are not agreed to that yet, so that will be a press release about this, maybe to a later in a later point of time, for sure. But it's a paint job order in a smaller volume and in a size which is, let's say, in the bit two-digit range, a little bit less.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
The next question comes from Mr. Jasko Terzic, Metzler.
Yes, smaller ones for me. First, in North America, could you give us your impression? What do you expect of the development in North America, as it seems to have significantly increased in volumes? Light vehicle sales are getting down, and some peers are telling that they still are positive for maintenance and service contracts also in 17. Second question is on China, not from the auto perspective, more from Hallmark. You mentioned that business is currently very well running for Hallmark in China. Could you give us an indication for 17, and is it market growth driven, or are you gaining market share? to get a better feel for that. And finally, a general one on Tesla and its takeover of Grohmann recently. Was it a competitor to your business? And if so, in what areas? And maybe a second glance, or from a second perspective, this Tesla as a potential customer, if it is a competitor, does it change the game somehow? That your thought would be interesting on that.
Okay, take the last one first. This company, Grohmann, is a company which we know from the times when we had the idea to provide equipment for battery assembly plants, which we did, I think, 2009 and 2010. Which we got out of this business because we couldn't see that it's profitable enough for us. And Grohmann is such a company, an automation company. Yeah, so they are not a competitor to us. And so that's your question behind whether they could take business from us in Tesla. And since I can only say the answer is no, by today's perspective. I don't know Grohmann very well, and but they are not in pinch-up business, and they are not a provider of assembly plants. They are an automator. They can do parts of it, but not the whole system. Okay. So then for North America development, yes, we see also potential for the future because the revamp business is ongoing. We have also projects for next year where plants which are aged have to be replaced. Sometimes this goes over two or three shutdown periods, over 2 years or so. So this potential is still there, is there, and it's going on, not at that level, I think, what we see at the moment.
Yeah, and your question regarding HOMAG and China, I can say yes, it is due to market growth, and yes, it is due to market share growth, because our observation is that the Chinese furniture production market is consolidating. They're asking for more integrated systems. The provider of single machines are not growing as fast as HOMAG, and that's, of course, a positive development, and we expect that this development will continue also in the future.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Daniel Gleim, MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my question. The first one would be on EcoClean. Could you give us a rough indication whether the sales in 16 will be materially different from your guidance on 15?
We have no guidance for EcoClean.
That is true.
Huh?
Yeah.
But the sales figure, I think, is more or less the same level, yeah. Yeah.
And the order volume in the orders that you have disclosed will be roughly the same as well, or is this different?
That's better than 15.
Okay. Maybe one last question on your lead period, the strong growth you've seen in your order intake in the first 9 months. Is this something that will be converted into sales in 17, or will it take on average a little bit longer?
This is also sales in 18 and end of 18, partially. Because the project duration is between 15, 18 months, 20 months depends. So it will last a minimum to end of 17 and also mid of 18.
All right. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
The next question comes from Mr. Christoph Laskavi, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Christoph Laskavi, Deutsche. Thank you for taking my question. It would be only one related to China. I think in the discussions we had over the summer, you pointed much more to an improved business environment in Q4 and Q1 next year already. Now it reads much more like it will be Q2, Q3 next year to see all the growth coming back and probably the business environment to improve. What has changed in the meantime? Is it just the uncertainty around the tax incentive and volumes for next year, or is it more that you see OEMs considering shifting capacity into EVs from combustion engines? Do you have any visibility on that, or is that part of your discussions?
First of all, if we are able to predict an order intakes on a quarter, then I will do another job because then I will sell my knowledge to others. We can't predict because those projects have a planning period of 10, 15 months where customers also have different ideas. There are market changes and they consider something else. So it's basically driven by the... But by the way, we have a project pipeline which could be also in the first quarter strong, but at the moment we are just saying in the first half and the second half I think will pick up. But it could be also earlier, but we don't know yet. And it's not because customers are hesitating, it's because of the complexity of their considerations they have.
in which plan, what cars, and they all study that, and it will take time, and sometimes it takes longer than we thought, and that's the reason why we have now changed a little bit to this, more to the second half. But we can also be taken by surprise. I would not bet anything on it, on the timing.
Okay.
I bet on the business, but not on the timing.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
There are currently no further questions.
Then we will take the opportunity, Mrs. Ballner, to thank everybody for your questions. And as always, we enjoyed the discussion and the discussions. We were presenting our preliminary figures, as I already said, on February 23rd. And this is now some time we have to wait to get together again. But for today, we would say bye-bye. And, yeah, to wish Christmas, Merry Christmas is too early, I think, Ralf, yeah? But if you don't talk to each other before, then enjoy it and let's talk again next year. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.